11, just put one down under 3.
Thank you, Mahalakshmi Prabhu, for giving such a wonderful class. So today we'll be doing the first 8 verses of chapter 19 from Canto 1. The title of this chapter is The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. So these are from the based on the teachings of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, or founder Acharya. And before speaking on these verses, I would like to see the blessings of Guru Gauranga and all the Vaishnavas assembled here. So we'll just recite these few verses.
Narayanam Sanskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayanti Vedet Nashtaprayesha Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
So chapter 19 has been divided into 4 themes, actually 4. So verses 1 to 7, it actually describes Maharaj Parikshit's preparation for his death. And 8 to 19, it describes a devotee association with the sages. And 20 to 24, describes the desires of the devotees, what is the true desire of the devotee. And 25 to 40, describes associating with the saint, what are the benefits of associating with the saint. So today I'll be doing verses 1 to 8. So actually, if you see, the Burijana Prabhu has given the section for the theme of this section as preparation for the death. When I was going through this verses, I found that the first 3 verses, 1 to 3 verses, was actually the repentance of Parikshit Maharaj. Mm-hmm. So I tried to put that repentance and preparation for the next 4 verses. Like 4th verse was Maharaj Parikshit receiving the news of his imminent death, and verses 5 to 7 were actually Maharaj Parikshit preparation for what did he do when he heard the news of his imminent death. So that is prepared, how he prepared for his death. And verse 8 actually he talks about the arrival of all the sages to visit Maharaj Parikshit. So Sri Suta Goswami said, while returning home, the King Maharaj Parikshit felt that the act he had committed against the faultless and powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. So, here we have to make a note here, is soon after the incident, immediately, as he was returning home, and then he actually came to know that it was a mistake from his side. So now this verse actually depicts the mood of a Vaishnava. So what does a Vaishnava take? As Madhachandra Prabhu was mentioning in his earlier verses, the mood of a Vaishnava is what? He immediately considers himself at fault.
On
is the center one? I don't know if
the screen is on, right?
Screen, nothing is coming.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, continue.
Sure. Okay. So what happened was, as soon as he left that seat, immediately while he was returning home, so Paramatma within the heart of a devotee, he told, hey, what you did was wrong. This is what happens when you actually surrender to the Lord. So mistakes can happen accidentally for devotees also. But then, if it was for a non-devotee, then he will not even realize what mistake he has done. But if it was a devotee, because he was a devotee, he was a staunch devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, immediately he could see what mistake he was done. Though it was circumstantial, because he was driven, he was pulled and pushed by hunger and thirst, it was that situation which made him to do. But he is not blaming the situation. Even though whatever the situation is, because he has done this act of not respecting the Brahminical culture, he felt that he was completely miserable for the, just by the thought about it, he was completely miserable. This is actually the mood of the Vaishnava. So, and what did he regret for? As we have seen in the translation, his main regret for this accidental, you have to note this, it's an accidental improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana who was faultless. There was no mistake. He was actually completely in trance. Right? And then the act, what? So it's completely, he is looking from his side only. He is not blaming any others. He is looking from himself only. Even though the Brahmana should have got up and given him water because he was thirsty and hungry, but he was completely looking from his point, that I am at fault. He is not even looking at any of the fault from the Brahmana side. So, and then actually in the verse, I was actually listening to Rumpad Maharaj's lecture on this one. He said, the regret, it's not just like the repentance should not be, okay, I have did some mistake, so what should I do to counteract the sin? Because if you do some mistakes, definitely there will be some reaction. So it's not like you go and do some karmakanda action to get rid of the reaction for it. Actually, there is an anecdote. So Srila Prabhupada once, he was sharing this with his disciples. He said one of his god brother, he went to an astrologer, and the astrologer said that you have actually done an offense to your Guru Maharaj. So then he was asking, like, and then the astrologer said, you should actually do worship Lord Shiva to counteract the reaction for that. And then that god brother went and did that. So Prabhupada was mentioning there is that to actually counteract the reaction, he has taken a karmakanda process. But what does the karmakanda process do? Only it will nullify the reaction, but it will not uproot the tendency to do the offense. So it might come up again. So our repentance should not just be to nullify the reaction. Repentance should be nullify the reaction plus actually uproot the tendency to do that mistake again. We will see in the later verses how Maharaj Parikshit, what was the mood of Maharaj Parikshit, and how the verses describe that he was actually trying to do both. And then, yeah, ritual and even the knowledge also will not help. Just having some spiritual knowledge will not actually help us in any way. So, avoid committing the sin again by fully surrendering. So the first part, yeah, by actually, there are many, many ways to counteract the reaction. But what about the second part? Uproot the tendencies. Because to uproot the tendencies, we have to take the full shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That we will see how Parikshitna. That is the only way. When we take the full shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and we surrender to Him, that is the only way the tendencies to do the mistake again will be removed. And what happens to the result of the sincere repentance for accidental sin? So Parikshit Maharaj is repenting. He is sincerely repenting for his accidental sin. So what happens? By the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So you don't have to do any karmakanda action itself. The act of repentance itself, because you are a pure devotee and the sin was committed accidentally. It is not like, now we are trying to do the seventh. We have a seventh offense, right? On the strength of chanting the holy names, you are going and committing sins. This is not that case. This was done accidentally. So Lord is mentioning, if you are a pure devotee, you are doing devotional service, but circumstantially, accidentally, if you had to do that, even though you are accidentally done, but it is done by you, you are repenting. But it is done accidentally, so the Lord is taking away all the reactions of that sinful actions. Through, actually, by the fire of repentance. And practical application is, for any accidental sins, the devotee should repent sincerely. Repent sincerely means they have to take full shelter of the Lord, so that we will not commit the sins again. And then one wonderful example of this is Lord Brahma. We have seen, right? Brahma Vimohan Leela, after taking the coward boys. I won't elaborate, but then when he surrenders to Lord Krishna and asks for the forgiveness, and Lord forgives, but he still feels that repentance, then the Lord blesses him that you will actually be my associate in Gaura Leela. Then what does Lord Brahma ask? He asks, don't give me a high post there. Just give me a lowest post, because what I did is because of the pride, that I have this much power. So that's why. So the pride is the one which caused the tendency to act in a sinful way. So remove that pride. So give me the lowest form. So he's asking to remove the tendency to commit that sinful act itself. So that is an example. Lord Brahma. Is that clear with this? So let's go to the verse 2.
ततो मे कृतदेव हेलनात् दुर्हृदयं व्यसनं नाति देवात् तदस्तु कामां हि अधर्मकृत्याय मे यथा न कुर्यां पुनरेव मदः.
King Parikshit thought, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed of the sinful action I not commit such an offense again. So here one has to understand, when you are reading this verse, neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. So what are the injunctions? He immediately felt that I neglected the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. So what are the injunctions of the Supreme Lord? We will see in the next verse. Brahmanas and cows must be given all protection. Although there are five injunctions, like the third one is women should be protected, children should be protected, and elderly people should be protected. And Prabhupada always brings these two prominently, the Brahmanas and the cows. Here immediately it struck him that yes, he is a Brahmanas. I offended him. The injunction is to protect him. Care. Your protection means you have to give full respect. Do not find any fault. But then what I insulted him for no reason, or for a very silly reason, I insulted by my actions. So he is feeling that I have done what? I have neglected the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. And then it's not only him, because when he neglected the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, what is it going to happen? It is going to affect all his subjects, because he is a king. So whenever a person does, it affects his immediate circle, mostly his family members. And if a leader does, it affects all his subjects. And he is a king, so it affects the citizen. So whatever the reaction is going to come, it might affect his family members and the citizens also. So each of our consciousness affects our own close circle, mostly our family members, both positively and negatively. We will see how it affects positively. Prabhupada also brings that point later. Like, if a person becomes a devotee, it is said in Bhagavatam that the seven generations up and down will also reap the benefit. It's not only negatively. If a person commits sinful activities, how it affects his relatives or his friends or his close circle. The same way, if somebody does good, if he becomes a devotee, the positive effect is also there. So we should be cautious about this. So those who are in the most responsible position, and especially all the devotees, those who are Vaishnavas, they should need to set the right standards. Because yad yad acharati shreshta tat tat evataro jana. So however the king acts, then the subjects follow. So he is now thinking that I am responsible to set a standard. Here I am breaking the standard. And what about my citizens? They will follow me. I am now setting a wrong example. So that's why he is lamenting, regretting so much for his actions. And Prabhupada also brings out the thoughts about a responsible devotee. How a responsible devotee thinks. So actually there are three main things. He, for a mistake committed by him, he doesn't want others to suffer. So he thinks unselfishly. That's why he says, let the calamity come upon me. He's not saying to everyone who is related to me, or let the calamity come upon me immediately. And let the calamity fall upon me and not on my family members. And he's saying, let the calamity come immediately. Why is he saying immediately? Because if it comes later on in his life, somewhere at the time, he might not know why the calamity is coming, for what sinful reaction. But if it comes immediately, he will at least know that this is the heinous act which I did, and this calamity is there, so that he will be careful next time. He can become more surrendered to the Lord, and he will not commit the sinful action again. And also, by accepting that calamity and undergoing the trouble, he will be actually nullifying the reactions for it. These are the three points which. Okay. And as I mentioned earlier, Prabhupada also brings this point. The family members of a devotee also share the effects of the devotee's service unto the Lord. Like, example is Prahlad Maharaj. Like, because of his devotion, he actually saved his father. In this generation, you can see Bali Maharaj becoming a devotee. I'm going very fast. So, let's go to the verse 3.
Adyaiva rajyam palavriddha kosham prakopita brahma kulanalome dahatva prasasya punarname bho papi yasi dhi dvija deva gopyaha.
I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be guided by such inauspicious attitude. So this is very, very powerful statement. So one question one might ask after reading this. Previously in the verse we have seen, is a compassionate devotee, it should happen to me, the calamity should come upon me. But then why is he here saying that let the kingdom, my strength, everything burn up immediately? Actually Gurujana Prabhu in his purport he clearly explains, it is actually burning up means it is separating. Let me be separated from the kingdom, let me be separated from the strength and the wealth, everything. So why is asking to be separated from it? Because that is the one which brought him inauspicious attitude. Because of what? Because he did that action because he is a king. When he did that action, he has a pride. What made him become pride? This wealth, this strength, this kingdom made him brought the pride. So what is it? What this repentance is, real repentance. He wants to uproot that pride which is linked to the kingdom, this thing. So he wants to take them away so that my pride goes away, so that the tendency to do this mistake will flourish. So we'll see this. So Maharaj Parikshit wishes that his kingdom, strength and riches burn up immediately by the fire of Brahmana's wrath. Pride comes with the strength and wealth and may enable one to act in an inauspicious way. That's why he's trying to uproot. And then we have seen an example of Nalakuvara and Manigriva. So Nalakuvara, Manigriva, they were actually the sons of Kubera, who was the treasurer of the heavenly planets. And because of the wealth, they had the pride. and they were actually naked, they were enjoying and they were sporting in the water. And when Narada Muni came, and Narada Muni, what he could see? He could see that these people were doing this because of the pride that they are actually the sons. So Narada Muni actually favored them, and by removing the pride and making them stand as a tree. Okay, you want to be naked? Okay, let you be naked. But then he removed the pride portion. Because they were not devotees, they didn't know how to actually come out of that sinful action what they have done. But compassionate Narada Muni had made them do that way, come out of their sinful action. But here, Parikshit Maharaj is a devotee. So he himself knows how to get rid of the pride. That's why he is making, let the wrath of the Brahmana take away my all kingdom, wealth and strength, so that I don't do this mistake again, which I have done out of pride. And Prabhupada makes a statement there, cow protection means feeding the Brahminical culture. And I want you to, these are the points which I got from the lecture, Prabhupada Maharaj lecture. But I want you to share if you have any points on this one. So how does it links, how cow protection means feeding the Brahminical culture? These are the three points which I got. So one thing is, one should know, as we all know, one of the mother is cow, one of the seven mothers we have is cow. And what is the existence of the cow? Its full existence is complete service. Whether it's living or dead, it is completely giving service. Everything which is coming out of the cow is auspicious. The milk, which, and then the cow dung, urine, and then everything which comes out of the cow. And then the milk, which actually nourishes. By taking the milk, we actually nourish us to the fine tissues, and then it brings us to the mode of goodness. And which actually, when the people are in the mode of the goodness, they actually, they will act as per the Shastras, and as per the Shastras, they will actually protect the Brahminical culture. So this is one way of explaining this, and if you have any thoughts, you can share. And we should not see a cow as an object of the of an object of money. This is what is happening in this current world. They are seeing a cow as a commodity, so they are using it as a commodity in this world. That's why we are seeing the Brahminical culture as completely lost. If you don't see the cow as a commodity but as a mother and respect her, protect her, then we can actually bring up the Brahminical culture in society. And Prabhupada, this is a little lengthy purport, and Prabhupada talks about the human civilization, and he actually brings out the three important points where the human civilization is based on. So he says Brahminical culture, what does it do? It purifies the self, and the God consciousness, it is for the self realization. And the cow protection, actually by protecting the cow and by respecting, we are actually getting enough milk to purify ourselves and then perfect the human civilization. And then Prabhupada says, whatever wealth we get out of this economic development, in the trade, through the commerce and everything, we should actually utilize in this for these three purposes, to uplift these three purposes. What are the three? Brahminical culture, the God consciousness and the cow protection. These three. And these should be the principles under which the state should work. If the state is not working under these principles, then there is a complete degradation of the society, which we are actually currently experiencing in today's world. And what does a Kali do? Kali's aim is to break these principles. To let us, yeah, Kali is killing these higher principles of love. And how did it Kali affect in case of Parikshit Maharaj? Is killing this Brahminical culture. Trying to, it affected by insulting the Brahmana, he was actually, it is one step into destroying the Brahminical culture. And Prabhupada gives a solution for, as we have already discussed, of how one can achieve peace and prosperity in this world. So he says that every state and every home, when he says every home, that each individual, what he means is, must endeavor to advance the causes for all these three principles, Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and for the cow protection, we have already seen. Only then a state can be peaceful and prosperous, and then only they can think of Krishna. Krishna consciousness, yeah. And practical application. So practical application is we should never be proud of our strength and wealth and act in an auspicious way, because each of us pays. So even in our temple, we see each person, maybe based on their seniority level, they are being placed in different positions, but don't take that as an excuse for your actions, inauspicious actions. No, you should know where that strength and wealth is coming. Because Prabhupada, yeah, in the lecture says that Prabhupada Maharaj very nicely, and Prabhupada also quotes this verse. He says, even a pauper is proud of his penny. So, because when they are proud of penny, when they see that it belongs to me. But then what is the source of it? When one understands that source is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then even a king, even like King Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj had so much wealth, he was not proud, and he was not proud. Because he knows, one should know the source of it. All the source of the wealth and strength is Krishna. So when one knows, then he will be properly situated. He will not be proud. And what would one do? We should engage the wealth in the advancement of these three things. So these are the three points. Don't be proud of your strength. Always know that the strength comes from Krishna, and utilize this for these three principles. This is the practical applications. What I have. And lead a principle-centered life, following the injunctions of the spiritual masters and Krishna. And these were the injunctions. What was the injunction? Lead a spiritual life. Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Char. What happens when you lead? Then Lord Krishna gives through which you can actually come to me. So we'll go to the verse 4.
Nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam.
While the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which would be due to the bite of the snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference towards worldly things. So this is the disposition of a devotee. So he's repenting, and then immediately when he heard the curse, he actually immediately, what did he? He saw exactly whatever he was repenting, it was like imminent death means what? Separating from his wealth, kingdom and everything. And then he was very happy. Then he could see the Lord's hand in this. And he accepted it. What is the real happiness? How is the real line? Prabhupada mentions so many points in this one. So how is real happiness achieved in this world? Only one should be with the spiritual existence or with the cessation of the repeated birth and death. And and Prabhupada brings out this point, very important point, that poverty stricken are better candidates for attaining perfection. So because of the wealth and strength, we get pride, and that actually blocks us out. And why Prabhupada brought this point, this important point here, is because the wealth what Parikshit Maharaj was having, all the material, this was like a block, this was like a hanker. The wealth, the kingly duties which he has to perform, all these were blocking from for him to attain the spirituality, for him to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Though he was actually remembering the Lord throughout his activities, but then these were still like a stumbling block. So in order for Parikshit Maharaj to completely devote his consciousness, he has to come out of it completely. So this is the Lord's arrangement for him to come out of it completely. So he's removing the anchor so that the fish, the ship can move forward. And also, Prabhupada brings out this point. It is that, and Madhavachandra Prabhu has covered very nicely previously. So Shamika Muni regrets the incident and conveys the news to the king as a matter of duty. So here we have to understand. So as a transcendentalist, he was a yogi transcendentalist. They are beyond the three modes of material nature. That means they don't have any anchor, lamentation, hankering or hatred towards anyone. Even though then he is seeing the benefit of both Sringi and Parikshit Maharaj. The Shaimika Muni, for his son's sake he prayed, but he didn't neglect Parikshit Maharaj. He is also seeing the benefit of Parikshit Maharaj. So he didn't actually go to pardon, because ask for the pardoning his son, because you know Parikshit Maharaj will not counter curse, because he is a devotee, he will accept even a small mistake he has done, he is accepting. So then if he doesn't convey this message to Parikshit Maharaj, how is he going to benefit Parikshit Maharaj? Because he has to see, as a sadhu, as a transcendentalist, he has to see the benefit of everybody, not only his son but the king also. As a citizen, he wants to, because at least he knows, at least if he knows that he is going to die in 7 days, probably he will, because he knows definitely he is a devotee of the Lord, he will fully devote his consciousness and actually attain the Lord's lotus feet. So immediately he felt that it is my duty to let him know about this. And as we know, I mean, from Prabhupada's purport, the Shaimika Muni and the king both were self-realized souls. He was a yogi, and Shaimika Muni was a yogi, and Shaimika Muni was yogi, and the king was a devotee. And again, we have to understand from both the sides. Here, Shaimika Muni didn't go to the king. Now we understood this part. But then, why didn't the Parikshit Maharaj go to the Muni? So this we have to understand. Because he didn't want to humiliate further, embarrass further Muni. Because when the news came to him from the Muni, he actually said that my foolish son Sringi has cursed you. That means now Shaimika Muni was under the full understanding that there was a very insignificant mistake of Parikshit Maharaj. And if now, after Parikshit Maharaj knowing the heart of Shaimika Muni, if he goes and says, please forgive me, if I am not considering your mistake at all, and if you come and ask me forgiveness, you are completely putting me in a embarrassing situation, right? So Parikshit Maharaj knew this. He could understand them. He could understand this, and then he didn't want to embarrass the Shaimika Muni. So that's why he didn't go. That's why they don't go. Then sometimes we feel that, oh, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj go, or why didn't Shaimika Muni go? If they both think that it is not the other's fault, it is my own fault, they should go and approach each other. But now from this purport, it is very clear, you got a clear understanding of why they didn't go. So instead of doing that, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? So he got the news. So in his next action is, he decided to prepare himself for the imminent death. So what did he do? And then, what is the preparation is? To go back to Godhead. That is what that is. The aim is to go back to Godhead, and then for that he starts his preparation. And we will see how he prepared in the next verses. And actually, this also Prabhupada writes, brings out so many points about the purpose of the Varnashrama Dharma. So the main reason for the Varnashrama Dharma is actually to for the people to set it in such a way that the men and the women, they actually come back to Krishna at the end of their life. And actually from the Grihastha life, actually one has to take leave, go to the Vanaprastha and then cultivate knowledge, and then from there he has to take up sannyasa before the inevitable death devours a person. So at least why Prabhupada is bringing this point here is, at least Parikshit Maharaj got 7 days notice. He has time to prepare. Whereas ordinary person, no notice. At any time it can come. So we have to be prepared. Otherwise, If we are just foolishly engaging in the materialistic propensities, animalistic propensities, then we are wasting our whole life. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It is inevitable. The death is going to come surely and we don't have any notice. So we should actually work for it. I mean, cultivate this Krishna consciousness. And he also brings out why people that why is this irresponsible life being adopted by the people? Because they are actually condemning. Because of their sinful, lusty desires, they are condemning this Brahmanical culture, God consciousness, account of cow protection. That is the reason of their irresponsible life of the people. And for this, it is whose responsibility? It is actually the state's responsibility to God. So, how should the state use the revenue for actually to bring up these three principles? And then what he also stated is to advance in the three above mentioned, and also to educate people to prepare for the death. How? Through giving this Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge, to preach this knowledge to the people. And then here Prabhupada makes a strong statement that India should follow the PM, Parikshit Maharaj, in the footsteps of the Parikshit Maharaj, but then do not follow the materialistic states. Yeah, because the materialistic state, they don't have any, they don't know what is ultimate good for the people, and they don't know how to go back to Godhead. So it is an appeal from Srila Prabhupada, at least. Show us in the next verse.
Ato vihaye maam amum cha lokam nimarshitau deyataya prasasa krishnangri sevam vadimanyamana upavishat prayam amratyanadhyam.
Maharaj Parikshit sat down firmly on the banks of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization, because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. So why did he immediately come to this conclusion? Because he was prepared from the womb itself. It is not like, okay, now I enjoy throughout my life, and suddenly when somebody says you are now having cancer, you will be dying in 2 days, then he will go hither and thither, what to do? Because he doesn't have any proper guidance. So the guidance should be from throughout the life. So he was guided. He was guided from within the womb. He was protected by the Lord. He was guided by Parikshit, by Yudhishthir Maharaj, his uncle. So he was having this devotional creeper grow in his heart from the childhood. That's when he came to know about his imminent death, he immediately knows what is the next action. He's not at that time, he's not considering which is good for me, what action, which path should I take. No, he already knew what is the path. So that's why he's saying. So he sat down firmly on the banks of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other practices of self-realization. Because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. And Prabhupada very nicely brings out, what is the desire of a devotee?
To serve the Lord.
To go back to the abode of the Lord. He doesn't want to stay in this material world. He will go back. And because none of the material planets are suitable for his stay. Very, very beautiful points, it brings us. And what is the purpose of going back to Godhead?
It's an odd place for gentlemen.
For gentlemen, yeah.
Material world is not a place for gentlemen.
Not a place for gentlemen. And what is the purpose of going back? His aim is to go back to spiritual. What is the purpose?
To serve
in various rasas. So either in one of the innumerable Vaikuntha planets or in the Goloka planet, Goloka Vrindavan planet. And as I mentioned earlier, so Maharaj Parikshit was aware of all this. That's why he could immediately cut away from all the attachments and go to the banks of Ganges and take the full shelter of. So how did he get all this information? Again, going back, because of his accumulated piety I am birthed in a high family of devotees of Vaishnava. So again, this brings, even if you are not successful now, at least in the next life, we will actually get to take birth in a devotee's family and get to start from where we left, and from the beginning of our life we'll be able to be in the Krishna consciousness path. And again, Prabhupada brings out, modern scientists are eager to travel in this material body itself to different planet systems, but Maharaj Parikshit, he doesn't even care a figure for any material planets, even the Brahmaloka, because he knows that it is temporary and it is full of miserable places. So, and what is Maharaj Parikshit? He became more determined in the transcendental loving service of the Lord Krishna by completely fasting the bank of the transcendental river Yamuna. In the next verse, Prabhupada gives more detail about why he mentions this river Yamuna and Ganga as transcendental. So let's see that in the next verse. In practical application, death could be at any moment. Each one of us will be tested at that time, so be prepared. So for all the devotees, it's the caution, death is at any moment, so we should be prepared. And preparation doesn't come during the time, preparation is lifelong.
कृष्णाङ्गिरेभ्यधिकाम्बुनेत्री पुनातिलोकाम्बुभयत्र शेषान् कष्टान् न सेवेत् मनुष्यमानः.
The river Ganges, by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of lotus feet of the Lord and tulasi leaves. Therefore, the water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctified Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. So, we will come to the next part, interesting part I am trying to share. What does it mean to take shelter of the river? So, we will come towards that. So here, I'll say the point before itself. What does it mean to take the shelter of the river? Shelter of the river is because when we are sitting on the banks of the Yamuna river, that enables him to think about the pastimes the Lord had done in the Yamuna river. So any object, that's why people go to the dhams. Why? Actually, that dhams, the paraphernalia in the dham will actually make them remember about the Lord's activity. So in that sense, it is not like Lord Parikshit was actually trying to nullify all his sinful reactions by taking the bath in the Yamuna river. That's not the scene. He actually went and sat on the banks of the Ganges river so that he can meditate on Lord Krishna, who actually spent most of his childhood pastimes in the Yamuna river. He actually took his cowherd boys into the Yamuna. He used play and sport in the Yamuna river. He chastised Kaliya in the Yamuna river. And in the beginning, when Nanda Maharaj was actually bringing Krishna from Mathura to Gokula, actually Lord had actually fallen into the water, and this was actually, he wanted to, because Yamuna wanted to touch the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he actually, by touching this lotus feet, Yamuna became sanctified. And also, since always the Lord's lotus feet is smeared with the tulsi leaves, so the tulsi is actually flowing in the sanctified water of the Yamuna river. And here actually Prabhupada mentions that even though it is said that Lord Krishna sat on the banks of the Ganges, but Jiva Goswami says actually it is on the banks of the river Yamuna, because if you see the Hastinapur, the border, the Yamuna river flows at the border of the Hastinapur, and then it is obvious to think that as soon as the king came to know about this imminent death, he didn't want to go to in search of other holy rivers or places. He just went and immediately sat beside him. So from the historical, geographical point of view also, if you see, it is actually it's a Yamuna river. And then, and also the Prabhupada brings out a very comparison of the sanctity of both Ganges and Yamuna. So, actually there is no difference between Ganges and Yamuna. They are both same because they are both sanctified by the Lord. And actually Ganges actually came out from the lotus feet of the Lord. So, but then, in Lord Krishna's pastimes, Lord Krishna has spent most of his time in Yamuna river. So, thousand times more sanctified Ganga. If a Ganga is sanctified 1,000 times, then it becomes Yamuna river. That's the comparison he gives. This. And we have already explained about the pastime of Vasudeva carrying baby Krishna. No difference between Ganga and Yamuna. And to that, we have actually in the scriptures, the 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to 1 name of Lord Rama, and 3 names of Lord Rama is equal to 1 name of the Krishna.
So it's 100 times. Ganges is sanctified 100 times. Is called Yamuna.
It's called Yamuna.
100 times.
No, 100 times. We'll go to the next verse.
Iti vyavachitya sapandaveya prayopavesham prati vishnu padna dadau mukundhangri madananya bhavo muni vrato mukta samasta sangha.
Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So, freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachment, he accepted the vows of the sage. Vows of a sage. So there are a lot of points because he has only 7 days time left. So he wanted to fully utilize 7 days, not even a fraction of a second he wanted to waste for the other needs of the material body, eating, drinking and other attending nature calls. He just said, every second is important for me. I have to completely devout. So that's the reason he took up this austerity of fasting completely. And then he went and sat, and then completely he immersed himself in the thoughts of Krishna. And that's why accepting the works of the sages means sages usually undergo these kind of austerities by not eating and then not sleeping and then waking up for so many days, keeping them awake for so many days. These are the works of the sages. So he took up the works of the sages. So what is the way to liberation? Free up oneself from all sorts of material association and meditate upon Lord, lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So there are 2 points here. Very understand. What is the result of freeing up oneself from all sorts of material association? That means when you are freeing up from all sorts of material association, then you are ceasing to commit any further sins. Because only when you are associated with the material energy, then there is a chance for you to commit material sin. So when you are ceasing, giving up all the material association, or then you are not committing any further sins. But what about the sins which you have done earlier? So by meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, you are free from all the effects of the previous sins. And you get liberated because Krishna is Mukunda, who is the giver of the liberation. So there is a double benefit here. Because if you go and take a bath in the Ganges, even though it is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, it might only purify you from the reactions of your sins. But if you take to the lotus feet of Krishna, when you meditate the lotus feet of Krishna, you are relieved from all your past sins, plus you are awarded liberation. And significance of sitting on the banks of the Ganges or the Yamuna river is give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously by remembering the past names which Lord has done during his time. When will the Lord help a devotee progress towards the path of liberation? These are the... One should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. So this point is willingly commit a life in any sense. So accidentally it might happen. For the accidental thing, Lord has already said, since you are already a devotee, you are a sincere devotee, will definitely repent. So the accidental sins are taken care of the Lord, taken care by the Lord. So that, but willingly should not commit, and always you have to remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. And yeah, as already mentioned, and actually in this 11th canto, 5th chapter, 42nd verse, Lord clearly mentions this. If there are any accidental sins committed by devotees, I will take care of that. That means there won't be any reactions for the sins. Again, the same point for the practical application. We should not commit willingly any sins and should constantly remember the road of the Lord without any devotion. This is the last verse.
Tatro bhajat mur bhuvanam punana mahanubhava munayasya shishya prayena tirtha vigham adhishai swayam hi tirthani punandhi shantaha.
At that time, all the great minds and thinkers, accompanied by their disciples and sages, who could verily sanctify a place of pilgrimage just by their presence, arrived there on the plea of making a pilgrim's journey. So here we will see that all the great sages, because in the next verse, if you see, there is a list of all the sages who have come there, has been mentioned in the 9th and 10th verses, because we have Vyasa Maharshi, we have Asita, we have Narada Muni, we have many other great sages. So, on a plea of pilgrimage, they have actually come to the banks of the Yamuna. But actually, Prabhupada writes very clearly that in the purport itself, it says, these sages, they're actually, by their presence itself, the places of pilgrimage get sanctified. So again, Prabhupada says that the common men, they go to the places of pilgrimage to drop out their sins, get purified. And then what happens? The places of pilgrimage will be overburdened by the sins of all the people. And just by the presence of these saints, saintly sages, those sinful, the burden of that they sanctify the burdened pilgrimage places, which are already burdened with the sin, they sanctify. So actually, then why actually are they coming to Yamuna, banks of the Yamuna, to take a bath and get their sins? No, they are actually capable of purifying the Yamuna or sanctifying that. So, but they are actually coming to meet Parikshit, though they are coming on a plea of pilgrimage. That's what the point. Actually, they came to meet Parikshit, not to take a bath in the pilgrimage. All of them were competent enough to sanctify the places of pilgrimage. And then common men visit pilgrimage sites. And so why did the sages come to see the Parikshit? They could foresee that the Bhagavatam will be spoken and then they can hear. So if the sages are so, if this, they are so pure enough, yeah, then why do they have to listen to the Bhagavatam? Because Bhagavatam is released even by the liberators. So, practical application. So, when we visit the holy dhams, our goal should be to hear Krishna Katha from the sadhus and not just take the path and get rid of our sins. So,
actually, there is a pastime on that first point. Prabhupada explains during Vrindavan. Prabhupada is looking at Bhaktisiddhanta. Yes. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was giving class and Prabhupada and God brothers all are there. So the few of the God brothers wanted to go and take darshan all over this. And Prabhupada keeps sitting every day listening Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj class. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, "You are very interested in hearing." something, and then Prabhupada explained like the hearing is most important in the dham. That will reveal the dham, the pastime of the Lord Krishna, hearing from the sadhu.
What he says again, I think, what all of them are going to just see is just the stone or the idols. They are not actually seeing the Krishna. So hearing is the most important from the sadhus. And when a devotees get together, do not gossip on the worldly affairs. Instead, read or discuss on the holy scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the. I didn't get time to prepare the summary type thing. As I always do everything in the last minute, not like Mother Chandra Prabhu.
I have no last minute problem. Because I got one extra week. So, give some more time.
Okay. So, yeah, the references. I from the ISKCON Desiretary, I got one lecture from Tham Krishna Maharaj and Ramapada Swami and Gurijana Prabhu's lectures on these are the three. I didn't have time to even I saw many lectures in ISKCON Desiretary. There were about 20 lectures I found. I downloaded and kept. But then I didn't have time to keep.
Thank
you.
Shri Prabhupada
ki jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.